Now, yesterday we were looking at one of Peter's letters, Peter's second letter, and we saw in verses 3 and 4 that Peter was letting us know a divine truth about the power of Jesus Christ and what he's already done for us. Verse 3 says this, "For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by into his own glory and excellent virtue." So, in a nutshell, everything that you need for this life, whatever your fears, worries, burdens, everything that you need for this life, done. Already provided for you. He's seen it and provided it. By his divine power, it is already established for you, bestowed upon everything that you need for this life, and everything that you need so that we can fulfill what God has called us to be, so that you and I can be the men and women of Jesus Christ that he prepared us to be. That we're not just living our life going through the motions of getting up in the morning, going to work or school, doing whatever we do during the day, coming home, getting done the things we have to get done, the chores, spending maybe a few minutes in front of the television with the family, watching whatever programs we enjoy, going to sleep, getting up, and doing the whole thing over again. It's not a whole lot. When you look at that over a lifetime, that's not a whole lot of rewards. That's because Jesus has, from the moment you were conceived, even before, he knew the plans that he had for you, the good plans, the plans to benefit you, and the plans to advance, that he's going to use you to advance his kingdom. Plans that have impact, life-changing impact on others. That's where fulfillment comes from. And Peter is telling us here that by his divine power has bestowed upon us everything we need for this life. All of your needs are taken care of. And that we can walk in that godliness, become what he's called us to be. That we can know, fully know, personally and fully know Jesus Christ. Have knowledge of him in his word. This is the promise. Verse 4 says, "By means of these promises, he's bestowed upon us his precious, exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from moral decay, the rottenness, corruption of this world." That means all those things of this world that are contrary to the promises of this word, everything in this life that you're facing that is contrary to the promises that Jesus Christ has for you. If you're sick, and sickness is overwhelming you, that is contrary to the promises. If you're depressed, that is contrary to the promises. If you are financially struggling, that is contrary to the promises. There are promises that Jesus has for us. They are exceedingly great promises. And through that divine power, these belong to us so that we can walk in his goodness, favor, and deliverance, and that we can know him fully, and that we can become what he's called us to be. So this is what we looked at yesterday. Now today, we just started to touch on this yesterday, but how do we then accomplish those things? How do those things come to pass? If we believe that his divine power has bestowed upon us everything that we need for this life, and we believe in his good, his exceedingly good, great promises, his precious, exceedingly great promises for our lives, if we believe that, how do we walk into that? Because we can read those two verses and we can say, "I believe it," but most of the time we wind up saying, "I believe it, but I have not experienced that. How do I experience that?" What Peter is showing us is it is a layer upon layer of walking into it, or it's a step by step. We build these things as we build ourselves in life. What I said yesterday is it's no different than when Jesus himself was talking about the seed. And he said, first you plant a seed. You plant a seed in the ground. And then there's a time, from the time you plant the seed, you don't plant the seed, wait 10 minutes, and then you don't plant a corn seed, wait 10 minutes, and then enjoy a full corn on the cob. You plant the seed, and then first you have the blade, then the leaf, then the head, then the kernel in the head, then comes the harvest. There's a time that takes place from when the time you plant the seed. The same thing is true as we're walking in the promises of Jesus Christ. They're all for you. They're all yours. But we have to learn, how is it that we walk into those things? We have to learn to lay hold of those things. The promises are already ours. And by promises, it doesn't just mean, yeah, when you're ready, I will then create that for you. No, the promises are already yours. That means It's no different than the promised land that the Jews, the Hebrews, were in the wilderness and waiting to enter into. There was a land that was promised for them. It was a land where God had provided everything for them. It was theirs. They had to possess it. The same thing is true for you and I. We've got greater promises, far, unimaginably greater promises than the Hebrews had. In the same way, though, it's not just promises that are elusive or promises that are going to be created or established at a certain point. No, they're done. The promised land was done and ready for them to walk in. They just had to walk in and receive it. The same thing is true for you and I. Every promise that Jesus has for you is already done. It's already finished and waiting for you and I to possess them, to lay hold of them, to lay claim to them, to walk in and possess what he's already done for us. That's the part that we have. And there's a step-by-step, and this is what Peter is telling us, there's a step-by-step growth. Just like that seed, there is a step-by-step growth process for us to learn to possess all those things. Now, you can possess them now, but it's going to be an ongoing process of you learning to possess everything that Jesus has for you, including how to be that godliness that he talked about, how to have that full personal knowledge of him. This is an ongoing, day by day, year by year, every day of my life for the remainder of my life, I can always, it's my choice, but I can always be learning something more about Jesus. So what's that step-by-step process? What does that layering look like? Well, he begins to describe that for us in verse number 5 of 2 Peter, chapter 1. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promise, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge and intelligence. So you can see already there's a layering process. I'm going to read these verses to you, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to read these to you from the King James. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. The more you know Jesus, then the more you know how to lay hold of and possess those promises that he has for you. The more you know Jesus, the more you know his truth. The more you know Jesus, the more you're able to walk into that life that he has for you and become everything that he's intended for you to become and to advance the kingdom in the area that he has destined you to advance his kingdom. But you can see by those verses, there's a step-by-step. There's a layering process. So let's look at it in detail. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises. So he's saying these are the divine promises. Here's the promises. He's promised great, exceedingly great promises, precious and exceedingly great promises for you. He has said that by his divine power, he's bestowed everything that you need for life. These are the divine promises that you have. So now that you have the divine promises, do you believe that? Do you believe that all the promises that are here in this word, do you believe that the things that Jesus said here in this word, whether it's the words that Jesus spoke that we read and read, or whether it's the words that he spoke through Paul, or that he spoke through Peter, or that he spoke through James or Jude, or that he spoke through the Old Testament writers like Moses and Ezekiel and Isaiah? Do you believe that all the things that we see from the very first words of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, all the way through the end of Revelation, do you believe that those words and the things that it says are true? Are those promises true for you? Do you accept that? Because if you'll say yes to that, then you've got the platform and the foundation upon which to build these things. So that's the first question you have to answer yourself. Do I believe those things? Now, if you do, then here's where God's telling us through Peter, God is saying, now add diligence to the divine promises. Add diligence. Diligence is a key word. You're going to see this throughout the Bible. We see it twice here in Peter's letter, his second letter. Everything starts with the divine promises. Now that you accept that, you believe that, and you believe those promises are for you, despite what the circumstances or the situation may say, you believe his promises. This is where then you start to build upon that and you build with diligence. That means I need to be diligent in my time in the Word. I need to be diligent in my time in reading the Word. Look, I can't know. I can't fully know. Part of the promises we're talking about is to have the full personal knowledge of Him who's called us. I can't have that full personal knowledge of Jesus without knowing what He's shown me through His Word. Again, the Bible is Jesus revealing Himself to us. So for me to have that full personal knowledge, I need to be diligent to spend time in the Word. So first of all, do we believe the promises? Do you believe the promises are true, and are they for you? Is the Word of God true? If you believe that, that's your foundation. Now we build upon that with diligence. By building upon that Word, reading the Word, knowing the Word, and the more I know the Word, the more I know Him. I have to be diligent. Diligent also just spending time with Him, even beyond the Word, spending time with Him in prayer. This is part of the diligence that is that first layer, or that first step upon that foundation of believing the Word of God, the promises of the Word are true for me. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. Virtue is excellence, resolution, and Christian energy. So we start with the Word of God. We believe His promises are true. Then we have diligence. So we spend that time with Him in the Word and just in prayer with Him. Then we employ, once we have that diligence, we then employ every effort in exercising our faith. So we're diligent to be in the Word. The more I know the Word, the more I can stand on faith. The more that I see His promises, every promise that's in there. If I see a promise, if I see something in here, I can take any verse and I can speak that verse into my life and into my situation. It is speaking His Word by my words of faith. If I know the Word, I'm diligent in the Word, then I can take that next step, which is employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. See, the more that I'm exercising my faith, I'm speaking words of faith, I'm believing the promises, and I believe them so much that I'm speaking them, and I'm saying to those around me, here's what the Word says, here's what I'm believing for my life. The more I'm exercising that faith, the more I'm adding that next level, which is developing virtue, excellence, Christian energy, that zeal for Him, zeal that those around me even see, and resolve. I am resolved to continue to stand in Him and work in Him. And then in exercising virtue, so now I've started with believing the Word. I've then put that first layer, that first step with diligence, spending time in the Word. And then I employ that Word by exercising my faith. And in exercising my faith, I'm developing energy, resolve, excellence in Him. And in developing that virtue, exercising that virtue, I develop knowledge and intelligence. This is just verse number 5. That's all I'm going through. And these are the first layers, step by step. So do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe it's true? Then be diligent. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer with Him. And as you're in prayer, it's going to give you, you're going to be able to build upon that and exercise your faith where you can speak the Word in faith and see it come to pass. And that develops a virtue in you, because when you see the Word come to pass, you believe. Your doubts are removed, and that faith that is already in you soars. It develops your energy, your excellence, your resolution for Him. And then, with that, exercising that virtue, you then develop knowledge and understanding. If you take those steps, just those steps we've mentioned in verse number 5, if you'll take those steps, you'll begin to get an understanding, a knowledge, an insight, an understanding into the Word of God. Peter is telling us that there's a step-by-step process in experiencing the fullness of all those great, precious, exceedingly great promises that Jesus has for you. They are for you. They are for you, and they're for your today. He's given them to you because He loves you. Spend some time today. Take a few minutes. Read just those first 8 verses in 2 Peter chapter 1. Focus on verses 3 through 8 and see how you can build that process to fully know Him better and to walk in the fullness of all of those divine promises, those great promises that are yours by his divine power. This is what he wants for you.